victory. Romans chapter 10, if you're there, shout, go Bengals, because I don't know about the Saints, amen. And so Romans chapter 10, amen, 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 but you know. And so Romans chapter 10, to this morning's message is near to my heart. We are talking about marching forward and standing firm. We have talked about prayer and worship. We have talked about reading the Word. Hopefully, how many of you are reading the Word with us through the Bible, the entire Bible? We're in the book of Exodus. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop is my commission to you. And so we're going to be talking this morning. The name of the message is Burdened to Have Beautiful Feet. How many people have beautiful feet? And you're like, wow, what a crazy message. And all the wives said amen for their husbands. I'm keeping my mouth shut. And so here I am. I'm going to be in big trouble before this is all done. Romans chapter 10, Burdened to Have Beautiful Feet. And so I run a nonprofit called Hope Extreme, and so I do this on the side, the whole, you know, preaching thing. That's my full-time job, and so we have an after-school program that runs through here, through the building, and so I do an after-school I help tutor kids, after-school kids. They come from all over, Honduras, Acadian. And so we have this group of kids that come off the bus with us. So the bus drops them off right in the front of our building. And so during the storm, it was a hot mess. We were a hot mess. And so we're gradually getting kids and students back into our program. And there's this young boy, and he sits at my table. So for this whole week, this past week, I've been able to tutor kindergarten kids. If you know me at all, that's not my gifting. That's not who I am. I love teenagers. I love people that can talk back. So I have all kindergarten kids at my table, and I'm just like, thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. And so I knew I was preaching this message, so I decided that I was going to tell all my kindergarten students about Jesus. And so I have three kids and one little boy. His name is Roger, and he's a cutie. And so he's sitting there at the table, and I said, I just wanted to tell you about Jesus. And he says, I don't like Jesus. Just bold and unashamed. And so and I sort of knew this from different things that had happened in his life and things that were going on currently in his life, even though he's a kindergartner. And so I thought maybe I misheard. And he said, no, I really don't like Jesus. And so, you know, those five-year-olds, they're abdomen, you know, like, I don't like Jesus. And so my heart's a little broken. And so I sit there at the table, and I'm like trying to convince him that Jesus is like the greatest thing. And he really says, no, Miss Tara, I really just like gaming. I like gaming a lot. Like I like Xbox, PSP, whatever new thing is out there. I said, but Jesus is better than this, right? Jesus is better. Like we're talking about heaven. We're talking about eternity. And so about 5 minutes into the conversation, we have forgotten math. We have forgotten English because we need to know Jesus. And so I'm telling him about Jesus. And finally he says, well, maybe I like him a little bit. You know how kindergartner kids are. And I'm like, cool. And so by the end of 30 minutes, he has me sitting down with him for an hour. And he decides at the end of Monday, he says, well, maybe I like him just a little bit, Miss Tara. So I pray for him. My family, we have prayer times at night on Mondays. And so we pray for the boy out loud by name. We praying for him that he was scared of the dark. So I was like, we're going to pray for him. So Tuesday, he comes in off the bus and he tells me, Miss Tara. And I said, what? He said, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And I'm like, yes, I've got one. I've got one. The burden of beautiful feet. And so the story I'm trying to display this morning is that unfortunately, I feel like this is sort of a common thing nowadays, that people really don't like Jesus. They don't know anything about Jesus, but they have already determined that we don't like Jesus, maybe because of what people have heard about Christians, what we have personally displayed about Christians. And so I have just a couple of stats for you. I don't know if you know this, but 1 out of 5 non-Christians in North America, that would include us, the United States and Mexico, don't know any Christians at all. I'm going to read that again. 1 out of 5 people in North America do not know any Christians. And you say, how in the world is that possible? I want to read you one more stat. This one's even more concerning. So in North America, 1 out of 5 honestly do not know someone who is a Christian. Now, in worldwide, the numbers are much worse. More than 8 out of 10 non-Christians do not personally know someone who is a believer in Jesus. That's profound. And you think that might not be true. Well, that's just a stat. It's probably not true. I want to give you an example. Ted and I were in Costa Rica. This was, we celebrated our 9-year anniversary. And because why not? And so thank the Lord we did, because then COVID hit and we ain't going anywhere. So 9 years, my parents said, we'll watch your kids. They watch all of my sister's kids and all of my kids. And we head out to Costa Rica. And we were going to do like this fun trip. So we rented a Jeep kind of car. And so the first trip, Ted likes to surf. He picked up surfing. So I was like, cool, we'll go surfing. Then we're going to the mountains. And so we went to, we were going to this surfing town called Santa Teresa. And so we were early. We had to catch a ferry to get to the actual surfing town. So we were waiting for the ferry. There was this giant storm that came. So we were like really, 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 really late. And we're on the ferry in our car. And all of a sudden, we had a knock at the window. And so we turn around and we roll down the window. And there were 2 girls from somewhere in Europe. We're not sure if they were from the Netherlands or from Switzerland or Norway. And so they knock on our window. And it's like 5 or 6, it's getting dark, it's raining, we're in the ferry, and they said, hey, we're backpacking across Costa Rica, and we wondered if we could get a ride with you. And we were like, you look innocent, you do have crazy backpacks on. They said, we're taking a holiday in Europe, you take holidays 6 to 8 weeks, you don't work, doesn't that sound amazing? And so we said, sure. So we let them get in the back of our car, both these girls. And so they're stuck with us and we're stuck with them. And it's raining and it's miserable and it's dirt roads. And we're just trying to get to our hotel. And their hotel is like just a little bit up from us. And so like, I guess we spent about an hour and a half with these girls from Europe who we do not know in our car on our vacation. And so we begin to tell them, you know, what we do. And of course, Ted's a pastor and I also love Jesus. And they just sort of looked at us like we were weird. And so they said, we have never met a Christian. We have never met a Christian. I said, well, look at God. He will put you up in a car with a Christian and a pastor and people who are adamant. So we begin to share our faith. Like we begin to share, not only is this what we do for a living, this is who we are. And so we just began to pour in. They had never That's unbelievable to my thinking, is that they weren't from some tribe way out in the middle of nowhere. They were from Europe. That's a big continent. And that continent is so underexposed with the name of Jesus that they had never been around someone who was a Christian. They had lived their entirety of their life and never knew someone who loved Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's a burden. That is a burden. I have a slide. I hope it's on the slides. It's a chart. And the burden is that America, now this is, do we have it? If you look at it, I love stats. And I think they help. And this is George Barna. He has a stat. And it's the state of the church, in case you wonder how the church is doing right now. Now notice, this is from 2000 to 2020. So this is before COVID. The church across the nation, in fact, the church across the world in the last 2 years have decreased, some say by 30%. 30% of the church no longer attends church. 30% no longer find it important to gather together. And not only that, not just gathering, because you can do that online, but also they have walked away from their faith in Jesus in the last 2 years. But look at this. This is from 2000 until 2020. If you notice, the red line is the practicing Christian. In 2000, you see that being almost 50%. And by 2020, you see those numbers closer to 25%. And then the blue line, you see a non-practicing Christian, someone who doesn't really practice, doesn't attend. And you notice that line in 2000 was about 30%, and now it's 43%. Now this line, the yellow line, is the most concerning to me of all. Because you see in 2000, this is the non-Christian. In fact, they have a name for themselves. They're called the nons. They believe in nothing. They are sort of like my friend Roger, who not because of anything, rather just I don't really like Jesus. In 2000, that number was 29% or 20%. And now that number at the end of 2020 is 32%. Against God. I'm not just talking about not practicing. They are against the ways of Jesus. And if you can imagine now, for the next 2 years after that, we as the Church of Jesus Christ have to be burdened to have beautiful feet. Either way, Jesus says, I am the truth and the way and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. You have your Bibles, look at Romans chapter 10. Are you there? Shout amen. Romans chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 5. If you don't have, this will not be on the screen, so you want to make sure you grab one of these. Romans chapter 10, the burden to have beautiful feet. Now, Paul is the writer of the letter Romans. He writes this to Rome, a very secular place, a very place that's overcome with worldly ideologies. And so Paul writes in verse 5. Now, Paul was a practicing Jew before he gave his life to the Lord. So he would have understood the law. And I want to say this to those of us that are reading Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. It is good for you to read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy because it helps you to understand what we don't normally understand because we grow up here in the United States of America. But a Jew would have understood the law that was written in the first five books. And so keep on reading. In verse 5, it says, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. Now, if you're reading with us in the scriptures, there's over 600 laws that are written in the scriptures. I mean, all kinds of things, all kinds of ways to live. And so God gives that to Moses, and we're reading that even now in the Old Testament. Keep on reading. In verse 6, it says, but the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from this dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. Somebody say near you. Near. It's near you. It's near us. It's in your mouth and it is in your heart. Somebody say in your heart. So the word that faith by we proclaim, and you've heard this in verse 9, it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be. Now, someone just say that you will be saved. So there is a way to be saved if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth, because the word is near you and the word is in your mouth and it's in your heart. And it says in verse 10, keep on reading, for with the heart one believes and is justified. That means you're made right. And with the mouth, one confesses and he is saved. There's no going back and forth. You can't let the enemy lie to you. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if Jesus still loves me. No, because if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Look at verse 11. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction, I love this, between Jew or Greek, or any distinction at all, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call out to him. So anybody who confesses the name of Jesus and believes in their heart and confess with their mouth, they shall be saved. Not only are they saved, they have all the riches that Christ has. Now that sounds like a good plan, right? That you would have the riches of Christ Jesus, not because of you, but because of him. And so Paul is setting up this storyline to say, you get saved. You can have eternal life. You can have the riches that are bestowed on Christ. It's sort of like us this morning. Wow, this is the air I breathe. This is the song I sang. God, you're the very bread of life to me, and we're excited. But then Paul doesn't stop there. He doesn't say it's okay for you to have the riches. He doesn't say it's okay for just you to be saved or just you to confess with your mouth. Paul continues writing the letter in verse 13. He says, for everyone, if you're underlining, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? See, that's my friends from Europe. How were they to know of Jesus if they've never been around someone who told them about Jesus? See, the burden that we have is like somehow that has to burden my heart. Not just that I would come to church and be okay because I'm going to heaven, but rather that I would be burdened to tell someone else who has never heard the good news of Jesus. And it's simpler than you think. You think, well, I have to go to Europe or I have to go to a jungle tribe somewhere in some country. Absolutely, start right here. You would be surprised the amount of people in Houma that have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they hang out with people who are just like them. And they're not Christians, so they hang out with non-Christians. And we hang out with Christians because we're Christians. And I'm not saying that's good for friendship, that's good for discipleship. But sometimes we have to be burdened to do what Paul is saying in these next couple of verses. Look at 14. It says, how then will they call on him if they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him and whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And that's you, my friend, it's not me. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, now look at Paul going back into the Old Testament. Keep on reading the Old Testament. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So Paul jumps back into the Old Testament, into the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah 52, it's going to be on your screen. Isaiah 52, it says this. Isaiah prophetically writes, therefore, my people shall know my name. Not my name, his name. Therefore, in that day they shall know it is I who speak. And look at what he says. He says this. He says, here I am. In verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring what? Now I'm going to talk about each one of these things. Who bring good news. Not Fox News. Not CNN News. Not the news media of today, but who bring good news. See, my number one purpose in life is to bring the good news if I'm going to have beautiful feet. And so the idea is that my opinions are not as important as my Savior. And so I want to be a person that is always bringing the good news. The good news, what is the good news? That if you confess in your heart and you believe with your mouth, you will be saved. And the riches of Christ are not just for me, they're for you too. That's the good news, my friend. So we are to be telling the good news, Isaiah says, and then keep on. We're going to go to the next part of the slide. Who publishes peace? Who publishes it? We live in a world where we're the anti of this. We get more clicks if we publish a fight, young people at our schools, Then if we see that we actually are, and everybody's hiding their hands, but if we would publish peace on our feeds, on our social media, if we would be a peacemaker, as the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, who publishes peace, and then look at the next part, and brings good news of happiness. What a joy that is. The good news is that we have this incredible joy, not in our circumstance, but in our Jesus. And so we have a joy that comes, and we have a peace that comes. And then look at the next part. Who publishes? Who publishes salvation? The goal of our life is to be burdened with beautiful feet. And so that what Paul writes in Romans, and is also backed up by Isaiah, and he says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And the voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. That's your job, is to lift up your voice. Together we sing for joy. For eye to eye, they say, return to the Lord of Zion. So Zion is calling. And clearly, we could preach the gospel. Some people say, well, I'll just preach the gospel with my actions. And I think that's good. And I think your life should line up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But sometimes you have to preach the gospel with your words. Publish peace. Bring salvation. Bring good news. That's not just me sitting there living my life for Jesus and no one knows. That means I have to open up my mouth. I have to begin to tell others about Jesus. So my question for you this morning is, do you have a burden to tell people about Jesus? Now, if I'm honest, I go in and out of this because I get hurt. I get burned. I don't like being hurt and I don't like being burned. And so I'm very passionate and I'll tell people about the Lord, and then something happens and I lose my burden. So if you this morning do not have a burden to tell people about Jesus, it's simple. All you have to do at the end of this service is, God, give me a burden to tell people about Jesus. Help me to open my, but I'm shy, but I'm a little bit of an introvert. So go and tell the people that you know in your place, God, give me, place on me a burden. All you have to ask the Lord this morning is, God, give me a burden to tell people about Jesus. That's number one. Number two is, open up your mouth. Somebody say, open up your mouth. Somebody else say, open up your mouth. Now that's simple. That's simple. We open our mouths about everything. I will talk to you about anything that you want to talk about. And so I love to open up my mouth. And so here's some things that I've noticed as you open up your mouth, a couple of things that you need to do. Form habits of inviting people. Form habits of inviting. I have had this habit since college, and I am a little bit older now. And I remember even when I was a young person, 20, 19 years old, I was always inviting. I've not stopped. And now I'm like in my 40s, and I'm always inviting. This event, do you want to come to this place? I remember inviting people from my classroom in college and saying, hey, we're doing this at the Baptist Student Union. Would you want to come with us? There's a free lunch. There's something happening. I want to invite you to. In fact, we have flyers. Posters, you know, you can grab them at the serve table, grab them, put them on a car. Say, hey, I'm just going to, every time I go to the grocery store, I'm just going to put one flyer on a car. I'm going to commit to talk to one person, or I'm going to share a church story on social media. It's just forming a habit and saying, this is a part of my discipline, like reading the word, like gathering together. This is a habit that I am creating in my life, that I have a burden to tell other people. Another thing that you can do is you can visit the same places to form relationships. I thought this was interesting. One of my preacher friends, he was preaching, and he said, you know what? I always go to the same coffee shop, and I get the same barista, and I have started to form a relationship with someone who would never be in contact with someone who knows Jesus. It was intentional. So I thought, I'm going to do that in my life. So I have a hair cutter person. What are those called? Barbers? Something like that. And so I'm sitting there, and she has never been around someone who really authentically loves Jesus. So we just formed this relationship, and she knows my kids, and now she cuts my kids' hairs. And it's wonderful. And I go on purpose. It's intentional. I sit there for an hour and a half, every 2 or 3 times a year. And so it's expensive. And so I sit there with the intention that she's going to see and hear the good news of Jesus. I formed a relationship that I would have never had, and it was an intentional relationship. You can do that. And then I would say, have a list of those that you are constantly asking for salvation. A list in your prayer journal. Grab a prayer journal when you walk out this morning and have 10 people's names. If you do not know 10 people that do not know the Lord, you need to find some people. And go knock on the door of your neighborhood. I'm joking, but not really. You know, just go 10 people. I am praying for their salvation, that it would spring up from the ground, that there would be some calling to Christ, maybe in your family, maybe at your job, at your school. And then you pray scripture over their life. You begin to pray, God, I know that they will believe in their heart and they will confess with their mouth. God, I am claiming Romans 10, 8 and 9 over them. And you begin to say over and over, I'm praying that someone would know Jesus. And you might not see it today or tomorrow or next month or next year, but you, my friend, are participating in having beautiful feet. And then I would say this, make evangelism an intentional discipline. Telling people, this is who I am for the rest of my life. When I'm 80 years old, I'm going to be telling someone about Jesus. I've made it a part of who I am. And you go and you say, God, this is who you are. I'm burdened to have beautiful feet. Remember, salvation doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. Even Jonah learned that in Jonah 2 and 9. It says, all you have to do is go and tell. The rest is on the Lord. All you have to do is pray and ask for the burden to have beautiful feet. The rest is on the Lord. That's a good news for us, because we don't have to work for someone else's salvation. All we have to do is invite and keep on telling people about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will move, and the Spirit of God will give you boldness as you begin to tell the world about Jesus. Now, I want to close with this. I think we might have a song. Do we have a song? It's going to be interesting. I love this song. There's a song, and I work with young people, so please excuse me for this. But I felt like the Lord just showed me that there's a song by Lecrae. He's a rapper, and it's called Beautiful Feet. And as I was looking over this song, I was looking over my notes last night coming home from Hope Serves, and I was looking over my notes, and on my Twitter feed, I think so, I follow like Christianity Today. And as I was looking over the song to try to prepare this for you guys, I'm not going to sing, I'm just going to speak it. But as I was looking over the song, on my Twitter feed, there was a man from New Orleans that last Saturday, I think on Saturday, he actually lives in Mississippi now. And he came from New Orleans out of Metairie. And so he was sitting there and he gave his life to Jesus maybe in 2018, and they said he just had a transformation, just loved Jesus. And so him and his wife, they would go, they lived in Mississippi, I'm not sure where, Jackson, that area. And it said they would go out on Saturdays and just tell people about Jesus. And they would begin to tell people about Jesus. And so then he says as he was telling people about Jesus last Saturday, that someone mumbling underneath his breath just came up and shot him dead. Just shot him dead in the street somewhere in Mississippi. And I thought, wow, the burden is to have beautiful feet. And so we're looking at this, and I want to read this to you. Do we have that song? Yeah. And so we have the, just looking at this, I want to read it to you, and then we're going to just close out in prayer. And so it says this, and he writes the song, and this is about a guy named Carlos. And then I wrote a little bit myself. Thank you. And so, but I thought this is what it is. This is the beautiful feet. And it says, Carlos was born in Killicali, was walking down the alley, and he caught a bullet in his head that left him bleeding badly. He lost everything at that moment except his life. He lost his hearing, lost his movement, lost his sight. He laid there in a coma, but man, nobody cared. The gospel preached in his neighborhood, nobody dared. But Los got up of that coma and was able to hear. A missionary showed up in the gospel to his open ears. He got saved, he got trained, got discipled. Back to the hood, you could find him preaching the Bible. He led a homie to Christ from the same hood, part of a church plant. Come on, now ain't his name good? This is blessing, but I'm stressing this is not the norm. We need leaders and believers to help carry it on. But who would minister in a sinister part of town? I pray if Jesus is calling that you would be found. I pray that we would be burdened to have beautiful feet. So this is my part. So what about you and the statistics that we just read? Does it burden you that many say Christianity is dead? So many take a worldly view of Christ that was never intended. Clearly the good news is that he comes for the broken and mends them. And what about those overseas? They never heard of the name of Jesus? Wow, please. So many people from the different ideologies and places, but Jesus came to bring peace and heal all the races. Please answer the call in your neighborhood, school, job, and city. Allow the Lord to use you to affect at least 50. It just rhymed. But seriously, my heart's prayer and cry should be that we would all know the good news of Jesus before they die. Today we pray that you would be burdened to have beautiful feet. Today we pray that you would be burdened to have beautiful feet. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? If you're in this room and the only thing I wanted to say in this altar call is this, is that if you would want to be burdened to have beautiful feet and you say, you know what, I need to tell more people, would you just stand up to your feet? You would just say, that's me. I just need to go and tell. I haven't been really doing that, or I haven't been doing that to the level that I could be, and I just want to go and tell someone about Jesus. Anybody else in the room, you just want to be burdened? Anybody else in the room? The Lord says if you would just do that, that he would give the burden. And I know for myself, I just need to be reminded. I need to go to the table and grab a flyer and just say, okay, God, use me again in this area, in this way. It's good to read the word. It's good to gather together. It's good to grow in discipleship. But it's also a commission to go to those who don't know the name of Jesus. Anybody else that you would stand to your feet and say, I need to have that burden again for my school? Where are there any young people that would stand for your job? Is there anybody in the room that say, I need to begin to open my mouth, not just to live a life that's good and godly, but to begin to find ways to open my mouth to tell someone about Jesus? Anybody else, would you just stand to your feet? God, you see us standing here in the room. And God, we thank you for scripture that Paul wrote in Romans that reminds us, how will they know unless someone tells them? And how will they hear the good news of Jesus unless we open our mouths? So God, to this morning, we are standing, God, just asking for a burden for the loss. Whatever that looks like, Holy Spirit, whether that's you wake us up in the middle of the night to pray for someone. God, whether that's we're going to open our mouth at our job and we're not going to be scared or timid. We're going to ask right now, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit to tell others, that you would use our mouth, that you would use our lives, that you would use our witness. God, that we would be people that publish peace, that proclaim the good news of Jesus wherever we are, whether that's in a store, on our street, in our neighborhood. God, just burden us again for the lost of our city. We can start here. God, we can start in Houma. God, there's some people in the room. God, they're not just called just to Houma. They're called to other places. So God, we're going to pray that you would supernaturally begin to birth that in the heart for missions. God, overseas and in different places, God, there's some young people in this room that could give up their lives. So God, we pray that you would just start that work this morning. And you would begin to burden them, and that's all that they could think about, Lord. that they wouldn't think about what's new or what new technology there is, but rather they would think about the good news of Jesus. And God, I pray that you would just begin to birth that in our young people. God, in us, Lord, as their parents, and Lord, and for all of us in the room, that we would, God, just have that burden to tell others about Jesus. God, that we would use our lives on a cause that is worthwhile. And that when we stand up before you, God, that we have done the work that you have assigned us to here on this earth. And that's to tell others. God, give us boldness and give us a burden. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Give the Lord some praise and then just go out this morning.